Welcome back, Growth and Jams fans, for another episode of the podcast. I'm here today with Caleb. He's here to talk about many things growth. I hope you enjoy the show.
One, two, three.
Caleb, why don't you go ahead and start by introducing yourself? Tell us, you know, who you are, what you do with your life.
All right. Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here. I was looking forward to being a guest on this show. Once you said that you were starting your podcast and you just kind of talked about the themes of it, and obviously like growth mindset is something I'm big on, as well as music. So I feel like being here, I'm going to be able to provide maybe hopefully a lot of golden nuggets for whoever's listening to this. But first and foremost, my name is Caleb Llamas, 23 years old, born and raised here in San Antonio. What I do as a profession is I'm a real estate agent, about 18 months in the business now. Not only that, but I also am a server as well at Le Fondant Maine, which is I like to call it a fine dining Mexican restaurant near downtown San Antonio. Those are kind of just my two grinds. They both fall in the same category as customer service, I guess you could say. Le Fondant Maine obviously is a restaurant, so I have to deliver customer service in order to get great customer service in order to get repaid back. it's not only just trying to get repaid back as far as like getting a nice tip or anything like that, but I just like to provide good service there and just really try to be as professional as possible, even though I'm still working in the restaurant and I'm a realtor as well. Like, I just always want to deliver professional service and I love it. those are my two grinds. Like, that's what I spend my time doing. I just actually recently went back to the fund on last Wednesday, and it's been interesting. I worked a double on Friday and my legs were like, I felt like handicapped afterwards. I literally walked home and I was like limping because my legs were hurting so bad. But I think that was just like my body wasn't used to being on my feet for long periods of time. And it's actually been really busy, like going back. I was expecting it because I've been to some public places already now, and I just see like people have been cooped up and now they're ready to be out. And that's ultimately like what's happened there. Like, I think in total sales for the day, I hit like 2,000 sales. So it was pretty busy and my legs and feet were killing me. But what I do.
Yeah, I have the utmost respect for not only you as a person, but servers in general. It's definitely not a easy job, and you've been doing it for a long time. So really admirable, as well as, you know, your work ethic when it comes to that. But we'll come back to that in a second. I think it's important that we let the people know where this friendship started. I think it's pretty unique. Caleb and I became friends, I don't know if you recall this, via Twitter, when Twitter was like, bro, not really a thing, bro. It was like going into high school.
I was thinking very hard today about when our friendship started, because obviously like I've listened to your episodes and Monica was talking about like when y'all's friendship started and you met Rafe starting off at UT. And I was trying to remember when our friendship started, but I've seriously known you for so long that I think it's just been like, this guy's been part of my life for the longest time at this point. So it's kind of
like 8 years now, man.
Yeah, we're probably going on almost 10 years is what I'd imagine. Because, I mean, I can remember you from Garcia. You had the swoopy bangs and the skinny jeans.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I initially remember Saul, that version. And now you've obviously turned into a fine young gentleman, UT graduate. But, yeah, you could probably tell me more about how our friendship started. That's how I remember it.
Yeah, I would say, like, we kind of knew each other in passing at Garcia for sure. Like, we hung out with different crowds because you were obviously the grade above me. So, like, we kind of knew each other. It was one of those situations where most guys are just cool with each other without having to like ever talk to each other, know each other. But I remember you being one of the first people on Twitter that had like a solid following for some reason before people had like Twitter. And I remember there was a very small group of us individuals that were pretty active on Twitter and communicated. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's how we became friends. And then we started going to play soccer like randomly. Like, my stepdad would take us to go mainland and like
the mainland days. Yeah.
That's how the friendship started. And now, you know, 10 years later, 8 years later, whatever it is, it's pretty crazy to see how much we've grown as individuals, but how, you know, we're still tight. And you've been one of the most consistent people in my life, which is crazy.
Yes, sir. You've always been like one of the people that I always try to make sure that I connect with, at least like if it's not once a day, like once every couple of days. Like, just I'm a very, for a living with my job, like you keep in touch with your people, right? Like you want to like always maintain those friendships and relationships with your people.
But yeah.
Even before I started my career, like, you've always been someone that I just always want to like check in on and make sure that they're doing well. And just always like caring about someone's well-being. Like, you're someone that I consider very close to me and close to my heart, and you're one of the truest friends that I've had for as long as we've maintained our friendship. And we've just gone through multiple relationships with girls, like giving each other advice and school and career and whatever the case may be. Like, you've just always been someone that I consider very close to my heart, and we've spent countless of hours together waiting for Travis Scott to come. We've probably seen Travis Scott like 5+ times together, maybe even more than that. And it's just a very special, unique friendship that's not only based just on getting to know each other, but also music. And I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for me to be here and just talk about all of that.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, yeah, again, you've been one of the most like consistent people in my life since I transitioned from private school to public school. Even though I didn't meet you like at the beginning of my transition, like since we became friends, one of the most consistent people I've had in my life. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that you're here. Sure. To kind of segue into the next thing, why don't you tell the people a little bit about, you know, the path that you took after high school and how you got to where you are now? I think that's really valuable for people to know.
All right. So whenever I graduated high school, like being in high school, I was never, even growing up before high school, I was never, I was always a smart kid. I was never someone that like put in 100% into school or whatever to be successful. Like, it was kind of just something like, I'd go to school and have a test. I would take the test and get like an 85 to 100, honestly. Like, I was always just like that natural, like B+ to an A student. Yeah. Like, it was just kind of something that came natural to me. I didn't really have to apply myself too much as far as studying or anything like that. School was just kind of something that like I went and did, and I was good at it, but it was never anything that was like super like dominant in my life. Like, my mother, she did like 1 or 2 years of college and never finished. My real dad, I don't even know. He graduated high school, but I don't know what he did from there. My stepdad didn't graduate from college either. So I never really had someone to like make education a big part of like, oh, you need to do. I mean, my mom always told me like, oh, you need to do good in school. Like, I want you to go to college. So I always had college in my mind. But I remember like junior year, like getting ready, like, oh, well, trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And although it kind of seemed like I had a plan, like, I feel like I didn't really have a plan. I finished off in the low 200s, like low 200s in my class out of however many of us there were, 600, I believe. And so I think I had automatic acceptance to Texas State. And then also Texas Tech was a school of mine that I wanted to go to because one of my other best friends, Ash Mitchell, which you probably know of, she went there and graduated. So congratulations to her. But, and I also obviously was thinking about Vista, but I didn't really know. It was kind of just like, whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I got the acceptance to Texas State and just kind of just rolled with it. Like, that's what I wanted to do finishing up high school. So I went there, and going there, I think that I was so late as far as like filling out all of my housing information and all that stuff. Like, I wasn't really on top of it as far as like doing it ahead of time. That, I don't know if you remember this, but I landed on an off-campus apartment.
Yeah, I do. You remember that? Yeah.
So I wasn't necessarily like involved with the student life and like being with my with my freshman class on the dorms, like being able to see these people and like meeting people all the time. And like, that's what you need as a freshman going into your first year of college. It's something that's so brand new, like all this independence. And ultimately, like, I feel being isolated on my own apartment is something that was detrimental to my college experience because at the time I was in a toxic relationship and I was kind of, at first when I went to college, my parents didn't let me have my car. So that was good for me at first because they didn't want me to be driving places and being like irresponsible. They were just like, let's see how the first couple weeks go or first couple months go, and then we'll go from there. So I finally got my car. And once I got my car is when I was driving back and forth from San Antonio every day or every couple of days, seeing this girl that was here in San Antonio. And I'd never really prioritized school because I don't want to say I wish I could change it, but my head at the time was in the wrong place. And I just ultimately didn't take advantage of the full college experience. And I don't want to say, oh, it's because of this girlfriend that I had time, or it's because of me being off campus. Like, those are the things that definitely contributed to it. But ultimately, I think I just didn't enjoy school. And that's kind of like why I think I left Texas State at the end of my first semester with like 4 credits. I just didn't go to the classes, and I was just totally irresponsible and wasted my first couple of months of college. And so after that, like, I think my parents thought I was going to school that whole time. And so finally, like, when the time was coming and the semester was coming to an end and I got F's in all my courses because I wasn't going, that's when I was like, hey, I don't think this is the right decision. I think it's time for me to come home. And so that's when I came home, registered for classes at Vista, and I was doing all the, like, so that was for the fall semester. And then going to spring, I was taking like flex classes at Vista to get caught up with the hours that I was behind. And I was doing really well. Honestly, I was blessed to be taking classes with Cameron. And we were like knocking out flex classes together, getting all these Vista credits, bro. Like I actually was doing really well at Vista. I think I had a 4.0 at Vista and I got all the way up to nearly 60 credits. And while I was doing that, obviously, you know, I was working at El Chaparral, just grinding, like making all this money. I was 18 at the time, like making server money, living at home. Like servers make quite a bit of money, especially being 18 with very little responsibilities. Like, yeah. I had never made this much money before, and I was spending it on dumb things like buying $800 Yeezys. You know how it is, like just buying ridiculous clothes and going on lots of concerts, which is great. Like I don't regret those experiences at all or anything like that. But I could have definitely been smarter at that time and been paying or saving up my money, setting myself up for more success. But anyways, I'm going through Vista, whatever. Finally, like my last semester at Vista, before transferring, like being able to transfer to UTSA, like I did the UTSA application and everything. And then something in me was just like, I don't want to go to school. That's just what I was thinking. Like, I just felt so unmotivated. Like no matter how good my grades were at Vista, like I was at a 4.0 and it just wasn't for me. Like I just remember being in the classes and I just wasn't enjoying myself. I just kind of felt like I was sitting there and it just wasn't for me. Like I thought that there had to have been something out there for me other than school. And so I'm getting uncomfortable at this point. Let's just say, like, fast forward, I'm done with school. Let's just say it's 2018, like end of 2018, still El Chaparral bartending now, even making even more money than I've ever made. Yeah. And a pivotal moment for me was I ended up getting fired from El Chaparral at my job of four plus years at that point. That was my first job and my only job. And I was so comfortable there that whenever I got fired for a very ridiculous reason, and I don't even really care to bring it up, but it was a very ridiculous reason and I got fired. And it was kind of like a really pivotal moment in my life because I realized that no matter how comfortable you are somewhere and like how much work you put in somewhere, it can easily be taken away from you. And like, at the end of the day, like being at a restaurant or whatever, like it's just a revolving door. It's like out with the old and in with the new, you know what I mean? Like no matter how many, I never called in, whatever. That didn't really matter. They were quick to fire me and my job was taken away from me in a heartbeat. So that one honestly really, really hit me really hard at that point. And I was like, what am I going to do like with my life? You know what I mean? Like no more reliable income. I needed to find another job because I still had a car. I have a car payment. I need to pay other bills. Still living at home, thankfully. And my parents were understanding and allowed me to get some time to get back onto my feet. And I started working at another job at Mimi's Cafe. I don't know if you remember when I was working there.
I remember
there.
Those days. Yeah.
And so while I was there, actually, this is when my life really did a whole complete 360. I also had a really bad experience in November of 2018 where I went celebrating one of my good friends' 21st birthday. And we went hard. Like I was doing unnecessary drugs at that point. Like, just a whole bunch of like regret. And I remember waking up that next day. I had a shift at Mimi's the next day after his 21st birthday. And I was completely blacked out, like feeling terrible, like migraine, everything. And like, I just remember seeing a picture of myself curled up on my friend's couch, just blacked out for the night. Like the next morning I had seen it and I woke up the next day and feeling bad. I had to go to work and I couldn't even call in because I just started my job at Mimi's and I asked my friends to call in for me. And I just remember like waking up that day and like how I felt after like having my friend call in for me. And I was like, I don't want to be living this life anymore. I don't want to be wasting my life drinking all the time and going to PK's Bar and Grill all the time. Like that's when PK's was really popular and a lot of people were going there. Like, and I found myself going there like 4 or 5 times a week, like getting ridiculously drunk and drugs. And it wasn't for me. Like I woke up and I wanted change. Like I just wanted to be better. And that was a really pivotal moment for me because then shortly after that, I met a mentor now. His name's Neil Schillig. I met him through my stepdad, just a connection. And he was saying he wanted to start his real estate team and that he was looking to recruit agents and this, that, and the other. And at that point, like I had nothing else going for me. So I kind of thought like, why not? And my mom had always been telling me like, oh, you should try real estate. Like you're really good at people. Like I was really good at my job when I was working at El Chaparral and Mimi's. Like, I could multitask, I could deliver great customer service, I could build great relationships at my table, even if I had just met them that day. Like, it was, I was something I was really good at. Like, I'm an extroverted person, like, you know that. I've always had a lot of friends. And so I was like, why not? So I asked them, what do I have to do? Like, let's sign up right now. So we had our meeting for lunch. That next day, I went into Champion School of Real Estate, signed up for all of my courses, and it was 6 courses, and I knocked them out over a course of 6 weeks. And then I got licensed shortly after that. So I started my classes in February of 2019, and then I was licensed by the end of May of 2019, going into that summer. And I really haven't looked back since.
Yeah.
Having something taken away from me as far as a job that I was completely comfortable in and probably would still be there, honestly, at this point. And that's what kind of happens in the restaurant industry. Like, a lot of people, and I hear it from so many people that have been there for 20 plus years or 30 plus years in a restaurant. Like, they just say, like, the cash and the money can get so addicting that, like, you just get stuck there and you get so used to taking cash home every day, and it's more money than, like, you're used to receiving. And that's how ultimately people get stuck there. And before you know it, you're 40, 50 years old, still in the restaurant business, and your life kind of plateaued there and you never really kept growing. You know what I mean? And so that's when I just really, like, flipped the switch and I just started grinding.
I mean, I really appreciate your candor for, you know, telling that story, demonstrating that you were at a low and how you were able to pivot from that moment. Because, you know, that's not easy, especially coming off, you know, losing a job and then, you know, turning to drugs, alcohol, whatever it may have been. But, like, being able to catch yourself and have that moment and realize, like, this isn't what I desire for myself. Like, I desire something much larger for myself. That's extremely valuable as to how much that experience really meant to you and how much that did drive and change your life. Because I did see you at a point in time where I'm sure you saw the same with me, where we were both sort of spiraling downward. Mm-hmm. And then something happened. That moment for you, I'm learning now, was that moment after that party where your friend calls in for you. And after that, it's just straight up. And it's not an easy climb, but you do point yourself upwards. So that's, I mean, you had a very quick turnaround going from rock bottom, essentially, to where you are today. It's something that I really admire from you. And thank you for sharing that. I think people will really appreciate hearing that story from you, because I think a lot of people can relate to having some sort of crutch that they've leaned on in the past that's led them to a dark place in their life, you know, whatever that may have been for them. And it's, as I say, you know, there's always up whenever you're at rock bottom.
Yeah, I would say just waking up that next day and, like, seeing videos and photos of yourself from, like, the previous night, and you just look in your eyes and you can just see it, like, no, like, I don't want to say nobody's home, but, like, you don't look good. Let me just say that. Like, you can tell when someone is going down the wrong path and when they look good, like, when they're glowing because they're glowing because they're growing, I guess, essentially. And 100%. Like, I woke up that next day and saw those videos and those photos and just, like, it was just bad. And I just wanted more than that for myself. And I knew that my mother would be disappointed if she had seen photos or videos of me and knowing that I was, like, drinking and driving and, like, all that stuff. I remember the night of that party, like, being so totally, like, messed up and still operating behind the wheel. Like, that is so terrible. Like, I know people always say, oh, at least I made it home. But the fact, and you can't even remember it, like, making it home and you just made it, like, that's never good. Because at that point, it's a 50-50. It can go either way, right? You could either A, do something very bad to yourself or to others, or safely make it home, in quotation marks. And then from there, like, I was introduced to all these books from my mentor as far as, like, just things that are fall into the path of, like, the growth mindset and focusing on things that are really important to you and not just trying to learn. And I really grew an obsession with listening to self-motivating podcasts, which is why I'm very happy to be not only on this one, but also on Arthur's. I felt like I did very well on there as far as giving advice to others. But I've just listened to so many podcasts and read quite a bit of books. I could be reading more, don't get me wrong, but I did read a lot of things that helped me individually to just keep growing as an individual. And I can say that I'm very proud of myself for how quickly I turned things around, because at the end of 2018, going into 2019, I didn't even, like, have a savings for myself or anything. It was kind of just going in, working the shift, getting my cash, whatever, paying my car, but never accumulating a nest egg for myself. And now I'm finally in a position only 18 months later that it's completely different and I can give back to others and help my family out. And if my grandparents need something, or my mother, my stepfather, if they ever need anything, like, I'm in a position to purchase things for them as well, or just always be giving back, even if it's not family, like, friends. Like, I'm the type of person that if my friend needs help with rent or something, like, I'll help them out. That's just how I am. Like, I have a giving heart. And to be able to be in a position now to where money isn't too big of an issue. I'm just so happy for myself because I literally came from nothing.
Yeah, man, it's really admirable. And it's been a complete and utter pleasure to watch you over the last calendar year go from, you know, struggling to now thriving. Why don't you talk a little bit about 2020 for you? Because, you know, at the beginning of this year, you held an event promoting and branding yourself as an agent, kind of like a hoorah for all of us celebrating you. It was really impactful. It was awesome to see you there. And you were at a place where you had zero house sales at that time. Talk about going from that to now where you are and how that feels.
Yeah, I really wanted to throw that event when I had it at Hills and Dales because I'm the type of person that I like bringing my loved ones and my close friends and family members together just to celebrate life in general and just have a good time. Like, and that's ultimately, like, I texted someone the other day. I was like, honestly, my business model is just nurturing my friendships, relationships, and giving back to my friends and family and whoever knows me. Like, that's my business model. Like, I just want to be that person that puts good energy into other people's lives. And so during that event, my purpose behind it wasn't even to celebrate myself as being this badass real estate agent that's done hundreds of sales and this, that, and the other. It was just kind of like, hey, it's like the holiday season. Like, let's just have a good time. Let's just celebrate. I love brunch. I love coffee. And someone told me after that, I feel like that event was a really great representation of you as a person. And so that really meant a lot to me. And then, like, doing that, I also just wanted to let people know, like, hey, I know I may not have had any sales yet in my career, but just know, like, going into this next year, I plan on doing a lot of business. Like, that is my goal. Mm-hmm. And so just going into wrapping up 2019 and going into 2020 was all about marketing. And it still is marketing, like always marketing yourself and letting people know what you do. And finally, the pipeline just gave back to me, like my pipeline of people that I was working with in 2019. Like, because I was obviously like keeping up with people who had told me, oh, we're interested in buying a house or this, that, and the other, like keeping up with them and following up. Eventually, you just reap the rewards of the work that you put in. And one of the podcasts I listen to, they say it takes like, 60 to 90 days to reap the rewards from the work that you put in. And ultimately, it just came back around for me. And finally, everything just started closing. And that was the day I was waiting for because I couldn't help but continue to compare myself to others in this business that were closing houses left and right. And I'm here like, dude, I'm just trying to close my first one. Yeah. And these people are closing like four in a week. And sometimes I've seen people close four houses in a day. And I'm just like, what am I doing wrong? There's definitely things that I can improve on even now. I don't think I'm nearly at my fullest potential because there's areas that I lack on and not enough effort that I put into my business. Although I do try my hardest most of the time, I know there's areas where I could be improving, like always be doing more open houses or following up more via email, like drip campaigns and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really do that as much as I should. And I'm very blessed and grateful to now have, what are we at, 5 sales under my belt. 5 or 6 sales under my belt now in 2020. And I have still some more pre-approved buyers. And I've had some friends of mine tell me that their parents are wanting to sell their home soon. And I gave them my card and said, look, I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm here for you whenever. And I know something that you had talked about or that you said you wanted to talk about was rejection. Mm-hmm. And something that I can say that I am a lot more confident now in, what are we in, pretty much September of 2020 than I was in January of 2020, because in January, like, I'm just trying to get people to close on their home. You know what I mean? And now that I've actually gone through the closings, like, and understand the process now, like, I just feel so much more comfortable and confident, like, approaching people and telling them, like, hey, I've gotten houses to the finish line. You know what I mean? Like, it's something I can do. Like, it's something that I believe I have the skill to do. Ultimately, people decide who they want to work with, right? And I can't force somebody to trust me as a real estate agent. And a lot of people may look at me and think like, oh, he's only like 23-year-old. He wouldn't be able to handle the sale of my $500,000 house or my $600,000 house. But it really is just a confidence thing and letting people know that you can do it for real. That you're going to hear it from people. Oh, he's young. He doesn't know. He's only had a year in the business. He's not going to be able to handle this transaction. But I just think it's that confidence and transferring that energy to your clients. Like, they will feel that energy. And like, if you're feeling not confident in yourself, they're going to feel that. But if I'm like telling you, oh, I'm going to sell your house and making you feel good about it and giving you facts on why I think we should list it at this price or why I think we should purchase at this price, I just think, I don't know. that's just how I feel. Like, I just got to transfer that confidence to people in order to get them to trust you.
Was there ever a point in time on this journey that you've been in real estate prior to selling your first house where you doubted your ability to succeed, or whether you doubted whether you had made the right decision to pursue this?
Oh, yeah. I would say that I still have those doubts sometimes, I guess. But I feel like a lot of people, even like when they go into like a corporate job or just any business owner type of job, you're always going to have those struggles and those thoughts, because our minds are so powerful. Our brains are so powerful and like overwhelming that we're always going to have anxiety and overthink situations and just maybe not believe in ourselves 100%. And starting off, I think it took me a year. It took me 12 months to make my first sale. 12 months. And going through 12 months, you hear these stories of people closing houses in their first month or in their first couple months of being licensed, and you just can't help but think, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, is this really the right thing for me? And I had those battles, and I still do, even to this day, like, because real estate is something where you're only as successful as the amount of houses you're closing, right? And if you say, for example, like, you have 3 closings in a month, but then your pipeline is dry after that, and then it's kind of like, now what? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just something that you always have to be like grinding for that next deal, which is why they always say, like, follow up with all your people and just always be doing if you're consistently doing the things that you need to make your business successful, like, as far, they call it lead generation is what they call it. And that can be for a lot of businesses. That's not just a real estate term. That's in any business at all. But you just always need to be lead generating and filling that pipeline up with people who may be interested in buying or selling or investing in the future or now. But I just think whenever you have those doubts as far as maybe not being good enough or not being able to be successful in this business, you just need to remind yourself of where you started from and what the initial end goal is. Because I can tell myself, oh, like, I'm not doing as much work as I should be right now. But think back to where I was. I always just like to think back of where I was and where I am now, because that always gives me all the confidence that I need to realize that I'm in the right place. I'm in the right position now to just continue to do this. And I just need to work harder, really, is what that's telling me.
Yeah, most definitely. There's a book that I'm reading that's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F Word. I will not say the explicative. It's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm not too far into it, but there's something that was really important to me that kind of was really applicable in my life that I wanted to share with you. It's called the backwards law. And essentially, it's like, think of, or do you ever notice how, like, the person that tends to put in the least amount of effort to things ends up reaping the rewards for it or succeeding? Whereas, like, the people that are super stressed about things, overthinking things, they tend not to, like, actualize their goals. For me, that's huge, because I feel like a lot of my life I've spent planning to a T, like, 4-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, whatever, and it's almost never actualized in the way that I pictured. Is this something that you would say is applicable to your life as well?
I think I need you to go a little bit more in depth into that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's a little difficult to explain, but like, kind of seeking out the positive rewards the negative, and seeking out the negative rewards the positive. So for example, you pursue the pain in the gym, it leads to overall health and wellness type of thing. As well as, like, it just seems like counterintuitive, right? The harder you work at something, the more time you put into something, the more you hyper focus on it or mentally picture it, or, you know, plan it to a specific T, it tends to not happen that way, or it tends to be much more difficult to actualize that. Whereas, like, when you're just going with the flow in life, you're happy, you know, you're living your life the fullest you can, things tend to go your way. It's very counterintuitive and weird. Would you say that you've realized that in any way in real estate, for example, where you're just grinding, 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 and it's not happening? But then when you're not really grinding, you're just, you know, doing the normal life things, like nurturing those relationships.
Yeah.
Tends to lead to success.
Yeah, I would say so, because, like, you could be doing all these open houses and meeting all these people that come into the open house, and ultimately, like, those are cold leads or whatever. They're walking into your open house, and whether you're, like, doing the open house or you're constantly, like, for example, I always post social media content, like posting tours of homes and stuff like that. And maybe nobody replies to my story, or nobody responds to or comments on my photos as far as like reaching out to me about needing help. I always say, feel free to reach out if you ever need help buying, selling, or investing or whatever. Like, that's something that I always like to just remind people, you know what I mean? Like, constantly letting them know. And I feel like maybe it's what you're describing is something that relates to real estate, because maybe they're seeing that post now and they're not interested now, but the consistency of always doing it and always posting it out there is going to keep me top of mind all the time whenever someone, or at least that's my goal. Like, my plan is to always be top of mind with my sphere of people as far as like what I do for a career. And so regardless, if it's going to give me a reward in the now, it's all about for me, like the future, and just being consistent with it and hoping that it's going to repay me in the future. Because I've had times where sometimes I'm either hanging out with my family, like relaxing, enjoying a drink, or out at a restaurant or something like that, and I get a text like, hey, my cousin is interested in buying a home. Like, I wasn't even on my computer. Like, I spend a lot of time in front of my computer, like looking at listings and on social media and stuff like that, like just trying to reach out to people. And I consider that work. And like the minute that they always say, like, when you go on vacation is when the business really picks up. And I would say that's true, because I've had moments where like I'm just sitting down at the house, like not even like real estate's most of the time always on my mind. But for example, let's just say I'm like watching a basketball game or something like that, and someone texts me saying, I was riding my bike actually this past Saturday, and Josh B's dad was calling me, and I wasn't able to answer because I was on the bike. And finally I call him back, and he's like, hey, my best friend Alfonso, his girlfriend is interested in buying a home. This is her criteria. Boom. He gave me the criteria right then and there. And awesome. As soon as I got back to the house, like I ran a search and sent her properties. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. You know what I mean? I was just trying to ride my bike. But I do like what you had mentioned about the gym and how we endure the pain of going to the gym and the soreness of our muscles and all of that, because no one likes that feeling. I mean, you may say like, oh, I love being sore. Like I do say that sometimes, like when you're sore, it feels good, but ultimately it's pain. It's pain, but that's pain that you're willing to go through to be in shape and look good and have muscles and be ripped or whatever. And it's just crazy. Like, it's, you can just relate that to just work in general. I don't know. I may not want to sit in an open house for 4 hours. Or for example, for me, like before the pandemic, I was going to La Fonda, next day having an open house, and then going to La Fonda again after the open house, and then coming home, going to sleep, or waking up early, going to the gym, then going to La Fonda, then going to an open house. Like, it was just crazy, bro. And it's still it. Like, my life still is crazy. And I feel like I put a lot of stress on myself. But I think it's just because I want so much out of my life. And I know that there's more than where I'm at now, because I've came so far already. But I just know that I can put myself into a position to where hopefully I can build something so great and so big that you eventually just leverage it out. And then I just start to oversee things and be able to give my knowledge back to other agents that will work together, that will trust me as their leader. And we can just work together to all be successful. That's really where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you have to say resonates with people, and it transcends the, you know, boundaries of real estate, and it's really applicable to life. Talk a little bit about 2020 for you and how that's changed your mindset on things, or how you've been able to succeed because of your mindset in a time that's so weird.
I talked about this a little bit on Arthur's podcast, but like beginning of the year, it was like 100 miles an hour, right? Like I just said, like La Fonda and then going to real estate, like trying to do both. You know, it was really overwhelming, and trying to go to the gym and all that. Like everything was just so hectic. Like life was crazy. Like I was just grinding, I guess is the word. Yeah. And then finally, like when everything is taken away from you and you're stuck at the house and you can't go in, especially like those first couple of weeks or months, and you can't go anywhere and you're just in the house, you really have that time finally to reflect on how you feel and where your head space is at mentally. It just really gave me a lot of time to realize that, and I tweeted this the other day, like there's a lot of areas in my life that I've realized that I need to improve on and that I've already been working on. Maintaining my family relationships, like my grandmother, like I hardly ever called her before this pandemic, and now we kind of have this thing where we call each other. My mom talks to my grandma every night before they go to sleep, but now like I tried to get into the habits, like talking to my grandma all the time and like asking how my grandpa's doing, because I'm not able to see them every day, but I want to know how they're doing. And just, you never know how long you're going to have somebody in your life. And so I just want to always make sure that I don't ever want to be in the position to where if something happens to a loved one of mine and I regret not spending enough time with them or speaking to them and really getting to know them. And I really thought about it hard this pandemic. I just want to get to know my family more. Like I feel like we live under the same household and we're connected through family or whatever. And like, I don't necessarily know this person, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to know about like life experiences. And I couldn't tell you where my grandmother went to high school. I don't know. Like, I want to know like those things. Like, I'm sure they have stories to tell that would provide me with wisdom and that I would treasure hearing about those experiences. And so I've really just have had time to connect with my mental and really realize like who I want to be and what kind of life I want to live. And when I had everything taken away from me, it made me realize like now real estate was the only way that I could make money to like, or just make money in general because the restaurant closed down. And so I had to really grind and like make that my number one priority. And it was no longer like, oh, I have the safety net of La Fonda. You know what I mean? It was like, now you really have to make money doing this. And I was blessed enough to close deals throughout this pandemic. And the market is actually insane right now. Like houses are going under contract in a day. That didn't slow down at all. It did slow down for the first couple of weeks and maybe like that first month or so because people were scared to go on showings. But once everyone finally realized like, all right, these masks are going to be mandated. We're going to need to continue on with our lives. People are still going to need to buy homes. It really picked up and everyone's trying to buy a house now, especially with interest rates being where they're at. But I don't really want to talk about like what 2020 did for me as far as like my business. I really just learned a lot more about myself. And I think that's what's really important because I listened to your other podcast and you were talking about having siblings and having, I don't know if necessarily like a father figure or anything, if you talked about anything like that, but I'm an only child. And so like, it's always just been me. And now I finally had the time, like, it's just kind of like me going through it on my own and like just learning and growing. And I'm just ultimately getting to a point where like, I feel like I'm getting ready to take on more independence. Like I don't want to say I can't wait, but like, I feel like I'm getting to a point where I'm ready to move out and be on my own and really just experience life on my own. And I've just been learning so much like as an individual, and I'm blessed.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are in that same boat as you with 2020 in general. I feel like being able to take your foot off the gas in a sense and kind of just assess your priorities and assess who you are and your shortcomings and where you need to go has been absolutely essential for this year. I think it's been really important for me as well. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we wrap this up? I think we've done a pretty solid job of touching on all bases, but the door is open for you.
We've definitely talked a lot about like the growth part. I feel like I have a lot of it, not necessarily experience, but I just feel like I've gone through a lot and like I'm able to give golden nuggets to people who may have these feelings in their minds and maybe not necessarily know how to let them out. And I feel like that's where what I've become really good at is being able to express my feelings and just how I feel inside. And that's something that I've worked on. And I would say the pandemic has helped me with that as well. Like I talked about this on Arthur's podcast too, but just the whole mental health is so crucial. And battling anxiety and battling depression is no joke. And I know we all go through it, whether it's severe or minor, but I just want people to know whoever's listening, it's okay. You're not going through it alone. Even being to where I'm at, people may see everything that I do from outside and think that I live a perfect life and that I'm completely happy and that business is good. So my life must be good, but I go through tough things too. And most of us do. And it's going to get better. You got to be able to acknowledge it. It's super crucial and realize that there's things that you can do to help yourself. And well, one of the things I like to do a lot is listen to music. Always helps me with my anxiety or like if it's depression or whatever, like, it's just my escape. Like I want to just listen to good music and it'll just help me take my mind off of things. And working out is something that took my mind off of like anxiety and stuff like that. And I'm excited to be back into the gym. Like I told you today, starting out with Phil, shout out to Phil. I'm excited to just get back into shape. And like I told you, I just want to ultimately, and I already do feel this way, but I just wanted to come out of this pandemic whenever it's over. I mean, it may seem like it's already over at this point, but I just want to come out of 2020 feeling like a better person, feeling good, and I feel like right path. I think we should talk about music though.
100%, bro. We got to segue into some jams.
Yes.
What have you been bumping lately?
Lately, I've been listening to Gifted a lot. It's that song. You said you listened to it.
Good song.
The song with Roddy Ricch and YBN Cordae. They're both one of my favorite artists. YBN Cordae, his debut album was really good for me. I enjoyed the whole project. I think it was Grammy nominated. I think that's how good it was.
It was.
like from front to back, I was really impressed with just his bars, like what he raps about. He doesn't just rap about like drugs and women and money and depressing things. He raps about just real life things that are relatable as far as like just family and wanting to do good for yourself. And he just talks, even he talks about some political things. Like, he's a really great artist. And Roddy Ricch as well is just someone who is peaking right now. I wouldn't even say he's peaked yet, but like he's on the way to superstardom. And his debut album was one of my favorite albums of 2019. I think it's when it came out. And he's been one of my favorite artists as long as I've been listening to him. And to just hear them on a track together, like Roddy Ricch with his melodies and the chorus, like just, they just killed it overall. And I've been playing that. Seriously, I drove, like, I had like a 30-minute drive the other day and I listened to it the whole time. Like, yeah, just, it was just going on repeat. It just makes me feel good. And it makes me want to just, I guess you could say motivates me. Like, it just makes me want to do good things. So I've been listening to that song a lot, obviously. Jaden Smith's album is just obviously very euphoric, like Zelda-ish, like with the flute.
I love it.
It's just like super uplifting for me. The new Calvin Harris song with The Weeknd, that's another really good song. And then, of course, Lemonade with Don Toliver Gunna.
That was a great song.
All those are great. That's like when I was spinning my rotation.
I'm assuming you listened, as the Travis Scott fan you are, to The Plan. What did you think about it? It's the, for those of you that don't know, it's the soundtrack for the major motion picture Tenet. And yeah, I liked it. It was different, but I really liked it.
Yeah, it was very, very different for me. But anything Travis, I'm a fan.
Yeah, it was real heavy.
The bass was really, really heavy. It was good. I'm just going to say it was good. That's my, that is my, I guess you could say my review on that song. I don't listen to it too much, though. I'll tell you that. I'll be honest. I probably listen to it once every couple times, but it's not going to be like when I get in the car and the first time I'm going to play, it's not going to, it probably doesn't even fall like top 10 for me.
Yeah. It doesn't have replay value at all. That's for sure. First, it's just like, one of those things.
It was good to have something new.
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things where if it comes on in shuffle, I'll be like, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it's not one of those that I'm going to actively go seek to listen to.
I know you did watch the, what was your thoughts on the Lil Uzi performance?
It was pretty cool, man. I think that because of the pandemic itself, I don't want it to ever come to this, but I think that concerts in general are going to actually shift away from, or not even shift away from, but like there's going to be now a mix 100% of in-person concerts and actual virtual concerts being accessible for everyone, which I think is really cool in the premise itself. Obviously, we're concert goers, so I'm missing it a lot, like being in person at shows, but it's pretty cool that artists are actively taking advantage of the resources that they have to share their art and their craft with people, bring some joy to the world.
I mean, it's 2020 at this point, right? Like we're bound to, I mean, there's always going to be something special and something unique about like going to an in-person concert. Like it's the whole experience, right? Like being there and waiting for, they finally come out. Ah, it's all crazy. but I think like as we move forward, and a lot of things are just going to evolve after this pandemic. That virtual concert was badass. Like I thought he was still delivering with great energy. He sounded great. There was no one there. The visuals were still there. Like I got to watch it from the comfort of my own home on the big screen. It was super cool. Like I still enjoyed it, but don't get me wrong. I'll always prefer an in-person concert. That's something special for me and one of my favorite things to do. Haven't done in a while, obviously. I got two questions for you. The first one is, what is your favorite Travis Scott concert that we've been to? Maybe not together. I think you may have seen him a couple times without me, but that's my first question.
I feel like it's got to be at ACL.
You think so?
Bro, I don't know, like the visuals, the floating cube things, the energy was wild. And it was also the culmination of waiting since 9 a.m. So I think that definitely added to it. And we were so sunburnt, so hot, so dehydrated. Yeah. But
thinking back on it, I have no idea how we survived that day.
Dude, every time I look back on it, even going forward after this pandemic, I don't think I'll be able to do it anymore. Because I think I was physically trained to do it, mentally trained. But yeah, I think Travis at ACL or Travis at his first Astroworld. One of those two. I think it was the first Astroworld. That was
crazy.
You
went to year two?
Yeah. Year two, the crowd was, it was horrible, man. My shins were bleeding after. Like it was, I think I broke my toes type of thing. It was terrible. But there was some like technical difficulties midway through. And he overall just didn't perform to the best of his abilities, I would say. It seemed like he was not all there. Like year one, he was like, this was the peak, the culmination. His entire career was at this moment. You know, he brought a festival, he brought Astroworld back to Houston. And I think that's where he essentially peaked. So that's why going forward, I'm nervous for him. I don't know how he's going to top that whole experience, but confident he can do it.
I think for me, I really enjoyed the ACL performance. Like, that one was amazing altogether. Like, everything, like, just waiting there, like, being on the bar, like, overall experience. Astroworld had just came out, like, 2 months before that. He was riding the wave of just being of greatness at that point. That one was really great. Like you said, that first year Astroworld Festival was amazing as well. Like, that was the whole first year. Like you said, that's what he had been working for pretty much. But I also really enjoyed the first time we saw him, House of Blues Rodeo Tour. I think that one was amazing because he was just really starting to get his name out there. People were really starting to just learn more about him. I crowd surfed. Yeah. That was fun.
It was so raw. Like, it was just raw energy.
And it was, I think it was rodeo from front, like, from start to finish. I think he did the whole album. And I don't know how many times you can say that he did that.
Never. Yeah.
And he's probably never going to again. So I really do treasure that memory a lot. And the fact that you picked me up and we went to Houston.
On a whim.
The whole overall experience. Did we drove back that same day?
Yeah. So the way I remember it is because Rodeo had released that night.
That day. Yeah.
And then he was like, secret show rodeo tickets on sale now, and they sold out in like 5 minutes, and we somehow got tickets type of thing. And we went and saw Rodeo the day it released, the day it dropped, and it was the first time he had ever performed it, so it was pretty crazy.
So you said that was my second question. I think you already answered it. You don't think you'll ever wait in line for a concert again? To be real.
To be honest, I have no idea. Like, I don't want to say I've graduated from it, because I mean, every time he goes on tour, I have to go see him. But I feel like it's going to be so different coming out of this pandemic. Like, just seeing crowds in general makes me anxious and kind of feel dirty. Like, when I see crowds, I'm like, bro, that's gross. That's a lot of germs. But so I guess to answer your question in short before I ask you a question is, I don't know. I mean, I think I will. Concerts are definitely like,
I think I've graduated to a VIP experience type of person.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think I've been in the trenches enough.
I think just like enjoying like some nice drinks, like, and just really taking in the show and not trying to battle for my life.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely experienced a little bit of that at Astroworld this year, the second time, because I was in the crowd, and like halfway through the set, I was like, I'm not having fun. I don't know why I'm up here. Like, I'm just going to go to the side. And I enjoyed myself on the side. I was like, damn, the crowd's, you know, chill here. I can see everything. I'm enjoying the music. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. Like, I would much rather be a bystander at this point.
No bystanders, come on.
Yeah, no bystanders, but
I know this is just dragging this topic on, but I also just want to say I really enjoyed his Mala Luna performance whenever he came here into San Antonio. Yeah, that one was really cool. Good. I feel like he was hyped to be here for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because he went to school here, but like, I feel like he just genuinely enjoyed performing here in San Antonio, and I was front row for that one as well, and that one was super awesome. That was like a Birds, mainly Birds in the Trap, because he performed that one.
Yeah, that was a good show as well.
I don't want to be sucking off Travis for too long any longer.
Yeah. My question
for you.
It did. It was coming. It was inevitable. My question for you is, I don't know, there was a picture on Twitter of them having their first socially distanced concert in Europe. Did you see that picture? It's like their own little sections, kind of like platform. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really cool.
I think it's cool. I just don't know how to feel, man. I don't know how to feel about anything anymore. Like, everybody has their own opinions, obviously. You already know, like, I caught the virus. I had to deal with it, and it was absolutely terrible, and I did not enjoy it whatsoever. And just the fact that how easily it's transmitted to others really scares me. And, like, going back to the gym today, even though it was a private gym, like I told you, like, I feel very anxious still. And I think that when I do go to public places afterwards, like, I feel like we cook ourselves up with so much anxiety after the fact that like we start getting ourselves sick. Like, after, like, when I got home from the gym today, like, had my mask on the whole time, and I just got home, and like, I feel like I started making myself just really anxious to the point where like I was starting to feel a little sick. And I was telling Hector the other day, like, I'm just tired of having to worry about an invisible enemy. Like, it's pissing me off at this point. Like, I'm just tired of it. Like, it seems like almost like a bad dream that we're still living in. And I just wish, well, I don't want to say I wish it never happened, because like we had talked about, like, I really did learn a lot, and it was a great learning experience for myself, but I want it to be over, man. I just want to be living normal life. And like, I'm going to Mexico in October, and I just want, I would love, like, I'm going there, and I'm still gonna have to worry about this stupid virus. I would love to just be able to go to Mexico and enjoy the beach without having to worry about being around others and not knowing if they have it or whatever. And it just sucks that we can't even really see our friends. And when we do, we got to be nervous and anxious about where have they been and who have they come in contact with. And I'm just over it. I think it is cool that I do like the little sectioned off and all that stuff. It's a great alternative, but I don't know if I would go though.
Yeah, I don't know. Virtual concerts might be the move for now.
Exactly. I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, it was a good time. I really enjoyed it as well. Any last concluding thoughts, my friend?
Not really. I could talk all day. So I'm just going to tell you, thank you very much for having me on here. I hope that whoever listens to it really enjoys it. I'm excited to hear it again. I hope everything I said was great. I don't know. I don't know if it was a little bit of a different vibe than Arthur's podcast. And I really liked how I delivered on that one. So hopefully this one is just as good, if not better. But yeah, thank you for having me. I really admire you as a person. One of my best friends forever. I'm happy for you. I'm very proud of you for everything you've accomplished so far. And they have great things that you're going to continue to do in law school. But I can't wait to see you again.
Yeah, man.
Whenever that is. And thank you again for having me, bro.
100%. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm doing horns up.
Horns up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast. Thank you, Caleb.
Yes, sir.